it's a heavy smoking country. It's just that the cigarettes come from mainly Iran and illicit cigarettes. And I've even seen kiosks that had like then also harm reducing like heated sticks and that stuff in the shelves. And you can get everything there and much lower than the official price. And in a tightly centralized, heavily controlled country like Turkmenistan, someone high up must have an incentive that this is happening, because otherwise they would crack down on this. So these smoke-free numbers in Turkmenistan are total bogus. And it's just convenient for the WHO to report it because no one ever goes there. So you can just quote it and there will be very few people critical about it, because not many people had the pleasure to have a kebab and a wet ashtray in
Hello world. Welcome to the Vaping Unplugged podcast. Everything you need to know about vaping and tobacco harm reduction.
Hello and welcome back to Vaping Unplugged. I'm Michael, director of the World Vapers Alliance. And today we have a special episode because we will talk about the strange love relationship between the WHO and the fantastic country of Turkmenistan. For that, I invited from our partner organization, the Consumer Choice Center, Fred Röder, who actually visited Turkmenistan and checked the situation on the ground. Because we see from WHO always praises about Turkmenistan, they apparently have a smoking rate of 4%. So according to their own numbers, they are a smoke-free country and they are planning to crack down further on smoking. So I thought let's talk with somebody who actually was on the ground and has seen how it's going there and see if that makes sense. I have my doubts, but check out this episode. Enjoy and vape on. All right. Welcome, Fred. Thank you for joining us on Vaping Unplugged. Great pleasure to have you here. How are you?
Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me on Vaping Unplugged today. I'm great. Thank you.
So it's a little bit an unusual topic. So maybe before we go into the details, let's talk a little bit about Turkmenistan and why you have some knowledge about this country.
Yeah, Turkmenistan is a beautiful country in Central Asia, one of the least visited countries in the world due to the fact that it is fairly remotely located, but also the government prefers for people not to visit it because they like to keep things as they are. Some people might call Turkmenistan also the North Korea of Central Asia, given how isolated it is from the rest of the world.
And why do you have an interest in it, or why do you know more about this country than I do and most people do, I guess?
So 2 years ago, I had the pleasure to go on a little adventure to visit Turkmenistan. I think that year 500 foreigners visited the country or something like this. So it's like 1.5 people per day. So I went for a long weekend to Ashgabat, the capital of Turkmenistan, and saw a lot of interesting, bizarre things. And I was really interested also to go there because of the statement of the government that it's basically a smoke-free country. So I wanted to see how that looks in practice. And I made many interesting observations, from warning signs on cigarette packs in different alphabets than the alphabet used in Turkmenistan. And I can talk later a bit more about the prevalence of ashtrays in this country, and the fact that it's only allowed to drive white cars in the country. But I think we can dive into a lot of things. Michael, you give the pace, and I try to provide some nuggets from a very absurd place.
Yeah, I was just about to say, before we talk about smoking and vaping, let's have some cool facts, but you mentioned already one. I read that too, that it's only allowed to have white cars. So why is that, or is there a security reason, or is it safer in a white car compared to a black car?
I think someone of the very small ruling class woke up one morning and felt that it would be nice if all cars in the country are white, and therefore that was decided. So if you look at a parking lot, you only see white cars. It's more a fun fact. I mean, it's a bit absurd, but there are lots of other things, such as the official population of the country, I think, is 4 million. The actual one is 2 million. accounting works a bit different over there. And some other funny things is they had the Asian Games. It was kind of the regional Olympics there a few years ago, and they built this big sports city for the Asia Games. And it was used once for the Asia Games, but since then the local teams are not allowed to use these very nice looking facilities, but they still play in the old stadiums. You know, there is this term of Potemkin villages, kind of just more or less things just put up to please someone. And it's almost Potemkin country, which makes it very interesting when you look into harm reduction strategies and public health policies and what's officially stated. And then also quoted by international bodies such as our friends at the World Health Organization and what's actually happening on the ground. So let's talk a bit about this maybe later, what's actually happening on the ground and what sort of products are available and how the consumer experience is there. Yeah, I was really excited to basically just go on this like sort of study trip just to see what the WHO reports about a country, what the country reports about itself, and then how the actual life experience looks like.
Yeah. Let's go into this, but maybe to clarify, the reason why we decided to have this talk is because there was a recent newspaper article again that Turkmenistan will be smoke-free with a 4% smoking rate end of this year. And we already talked a little bit from WVA side about Turkmenistan and that the fact that WHO always promotes Turkmenistan as one of the leading tobacco control countries. I just looked up the website. They still have it online on Turkmenistan, and it word by word says Turkmenistan holds a leading position in tobacco control and prevention. So it's quite celebrated. If you look for the same thing, for example, for Sweden, you can find that, which is actually almost smoke-free. So it's a bit of a problematic thing why the WHO is promoting Turkmenistan, and I think a bit scary considering what we heard and how obscure this country is. But I think it's worth it since you were there to feel a little bit, discuss a little bit. With a smoking rate of 4%, you'd never saw a smoker, basically, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, I already mentioned how they count their or overcount their population. Therefore, I would be a bit careful about statistics coming out of Turkmenistan. But I mean, what was interesting to me, and one of the reasons why I think why we also have this call or this recording today is that the Turkmen government also plans to massively increase the price for cigarettes. I think a pack of cigarettes would be equivalent to like 10% of an average salary, which, you know, sounds like a strategy to disincentivize people to smoke. Official harm reduction alternatives are also not on the market, from what I understand in Turkmenistan. But let me just give you some observations. What I saw over the 4 days I visited the country is whenever you sit down in a restaurant, before you get a menu or they ask you what you want to have, the first thing you get served is a small ashtray with a wet towel in it. So it's just assumed that you're a smoker. So either they're just like very, very hospitable towards smokers for the 4% they have, or actually a much larger amount of people smoke. And usually when you go to restaurants, a lot of people smoke there, usually indoors, because outdoor smoking is very frowned upon. But you usually get a wet ashtray as a kind of standard operating procedure. And sometimes you have to fight for getting a menu, but the wet ashtray comes automatically. And then you see that most cigarettes sold there are actually with like Iranian warning signs and Iranian tax banderol, however you call this, duty stamps. Turkmenistan has a long border to Iran, and it seems that the probably one of the goals of increasing cigarette prices is to actually boost the illicit imported cigarettes, which have a massive market share in the country. And I would not be surprised if some key stakeholders in the government, as in so many countries, have a personal stake in the importation of non-duty cigarettes that hit the market. And obviously, the official cigarette sales numbers are reported to the WHO, and the WHO is very uncritical on regarding numbers when they play towards their favor and rhetoric. But it's a heavy smoking country. It's just that the cigarettes come from mainly Iran and illicit cigarettes. And I've even seen kiosks that had like then also harm reducing like heated sticks and that stuff in the shelves. And you can get everything there and much lower than the official price. And in a tightly centralized, heavily controlled country like Turkmenistan, someone high up must have an incentive that this is happening, because otherwise they would crack down on this. So these smoke-free numbers in Turkmenistan are total bogus. And it's just convenient for the WHO to report it because no one ever goes there. So you can just quote it and there will be very few people critical about it, because not many people had the pleasure to have a kebab and a wet ashtray in Ashgabat as I had.
But to clarify, so you, I mean, I know you're not smoking anymore, but you saw that cigarettes are sold openly and you can just walk in the store.
Every kiosk around the corner, you can ask the waiter to quickly run around the corner and get you cigarettes. I actually tried that out just to see how it works. And literally, you sit down in a restaurant, the first thing you get is an ashtray with a wet towel. Mm.
And have you seen vapes or pouches or something like that too, or is that not a thing there?
I saw heated sticks, and they officially also don't exist in the country. So they, someone parallel imports them or brings them in. You see it in shops there. And the fact that it's not being tracked down in a country where every 500 meters when you drive on the road, some traffic policeman pulls you over to ask for a fine. I had this on my way back to the airport. They kind of know there's only this one flight at that time. So they have this big roadblock and they know you have to go to your flight and ask you for a bribe. And I fortunately still, my driver fortunately had still a few cold beers in the car, and we paid our access to the airport with a few cold beer to the policeman. Probably when you look at drinking numbers, it also looks much lower in that country than it actually is.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if that is actually true, but I read it online that they do some kind of public shaming campaigns with smokers where they have to admit and apologize of smoking on national TV, and they do contraband cigarette burnings on TV. I assume you also didn't watch TV, but that's what says online everywhere.
So there's only one TV channel? And one radio station, I think, or maybe two radio stations, and that's it. And they probably show that on this one TV channel. But my experience from the urban setting is that there were cigarettes everywhere. And again, this ashtray thing is just like ingrained in me, because that was my main experience. Like the two most absurd things in the country were white cars and ashtrays everywhere. I almost loved seeing, I mean, I'm an ex-smoker, but just this automatic process that they assume you must be a smoker and put an ashtray in front of you, like a fresh one with this little wet towel, was kind of cute, and also just shows that the official numbers are absolutely not true. There's just a massive illegal market, which is absolutely tolerated by the government, because in such a centrally controlled country, if the government wouldn't like to see these illegal cigarettes flying around, they would crack down on it successfully. But they don't. And maybe the contraband they sell is from someone who tried to compete with the government in the illegal market.
And I mean, we talk about this in a slightly sarcastic way, but obviously it's what we always have to think about. It's one of the most brutal dictatorships on earth. And then the fact that WHO is praising a country like this is, I would assume then they like their actions and would like to see other countries to follow the same, while completely ignoring other countries who are successful like Sweden or New Zealand, doesn't put the WHO in the right light in my mind. That's to completely ignore all this human rights things just for some fake numbers doesn't sound right to me. Why is
that? It's absolutely disgusting. And I mean, the WHO is still predominantly funded by Western taxpayers' money. But if you look at there, I mean, they had Robert Mugabe for some time as goodwill ambassador of the World Health Organization. you had the WHO praising some Russian early childhood prevention project while the Russians were like bombing, and they still are bombing, hospitals in Ukraine. But that somehow, as long as the photo opportunity is good for the WHO, they don't care with whom they cozy up. I don't want to go down the COVID-19 rabbit hole, but I mean, that entire COVID policies in Taiwan, which were like apparently really smart and effective, and the WHO ignored it because Taiwan is not officially part of the WHO, being blocked by mainland China, communist China. It's like all just extremely political, and it's not about facts, right? We should not see, unfortunately, we should not see the WHO statement as like scientific or evidence-driven statements, but it's very political, and it's always they cherry pick what they want to have, right? And I mean, Tedros, the director general of the WHO, was also not a shining beacon of liberal democracy, but like a Marxist politician in Ethiopia. So I'm not surprised.
And we obviously have seen that a lot when they spread misinformation about vaping, which was scientifically completely wrong. I think 10 out of 11 posts on vaping got a community note on X. So it's quite clear that this is the case, what you just mentioned. But if we look then in a few months further, COP11 will be happening. Do you think we will see the same thing, that the good countries from WHO like Turkmenistan will be pushed, while the good countries from our perspective like Sweden, New Zealand will be ignored again, and we see the same prohibition style recommendations again?
I really hope that the WHO and also the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control start understanding that harm reduction is the only way to go up towards a smoke-free society, and that nicotine shouldn't be demonized but destigmatized. And what the WHO is doing is to stigmatize nicotine consumption, even though there are lots of positive use cases for nicotine consumption. And so that's my hope. In reality, probably the Turkmen delegation to the FCTC will be like paraded on the streets as champions of fighting the good fight against smoking, and even though they fight the wrong fight or the wrong battle, and voices like progressive voices such as New Zealand or Sweden will be downplayed, and that's of course very sad. I mean, we need to embrace harm reduction, we need to embrace innovation. And I think there's also just a sour note from these like legacy anti-tobacco activists that it was not them who solved the problem, but it was innovation that solved the health problems associated to traditional nicotine consumption, which is like the combustible cigarette. And now you have pouches, you have vapes, you have heated tobacco, all ways of consuming nicotine relatively harmful. In a relatively harmful way, and that kind of doesn't fit into the worldview of the WHOs and Michael Bloomberg's of the world, because they wanted to solve this problem with like through like very top-down policies and not innovation and choice.
I mean, on this a little bit pessimistic note, as a consumer advocate, as a final question, what would you tell a consumer listening when it comes to COP? We always have the feeling consumers are left out, but what can consumers actually do to be heard?
It's important to raise our voices, engage as much as possible on social media, write to your elected officials that your voice has to count, tell your story, how you were able to quit smoking. And there are like tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of former smokers that were able to quit thanks to new technologies, the ones I mentioned. We need to do this, because otherwise we live in a world where people still smoke but don't have access to less harmful alternatives, which would be very sad.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you, Fred, for joining us. That's it. It was a great pleasure. Funny insights, too, to a country I think we don't hear.
Let me give you one more. You know where the world's largest indoor Ferris wheel, Ashgabat. So go to Ashgabat and visit the world's largest indoor Ferris wheel. Not that I knew that indoor Ferris wheels are a thing, but it exists there, and according to the Guinness Book, it's the world's largest.
I'm Austrian, so if you know the Prater, I'm a big fan of Ferris wheels, so maybe I have to put Turkmenistan on my traveling list.
Indoor.
Fantastic. Thank you, Fred. Have a good day.
Thank you. Take care.